This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Money did not, it turns out, talk in the case of Ryan Christopher Fogel. Arrested by Russian authorities, this American working at the U.S. Embassy in Moscow is accused of trying to pay a Russian intelligence officer to work for the CIA. The Fogel case, which will certainly complicate efforts to get cooperation with Russia over the war in Syria, is the first expulsion of an American on espionage charges in over a decade and may have something to do with U.S. interest in tracking Chechenian terrorists of more concern to the U.S. since the Boston Marathon bombing. Gordon Carrera, author of The Art of Betrayal, The Secret History of MI6, and BBC security correspondent, joins us now. Gordon, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
The details on this case are strange, are bizarre. Do you think this does have something to do with U.S. interest in tracking Chechnyans or not believing the Russians in the information about, say, the Tsarnaev brothers, that sort of thing?
Well, I mean, first of all, to say it's a very retro kind of spy case. I mean, not just because you've got expulsions which feel like the Cold War, but some of the equipment, you know, the wig, the letter, the cash. I mean, this isn't the world of cyber spies we've come to expect, and does look very kind of retro and old school. When Britain's MI6 got caught a couple of years ago in Moscow, at least they were using something high-tech like a spy rock with a secret transmitter in it. Now, that makes me think this is a bit strange. I mean, it may well be that this individual did work for the CIA. We can't know for sure. No one's denying it. No one's confirming it. But it may well also be that some of this evidence was planted on him because the Russians wanted to make a point, because they wanted something public to expose. That could be for a lot of different reasons. It could be because they're annoyed that he was trying to recruit a Russian intelligence officer and they wanted to send a message. It could be because it serves their kind of political narrative of saying foreign governments, foreign intelligence services are trying to subvert us, and you see that in their campaign against NGOs. And it could be linked to whatever intelligence he was trying to gather. I mean, we do understand that according to the Russian account, that this was an attempt to recruit someone who worked on counterterrorism, perhaps in the Caucasus. It may well be in the aftermath of Boston, the US wanted to know, what else do the Russians know about what's going on down there? Are they telling us everything about people like Tsarnaev who might have traveled there? And we want to know. And the Russians responded badly when someone got caught doing that. I think it's possible, but there's all kinds of motives and issues that could be going on when you get a kind of spy case like this, and particularly when a country decides to make it public.
Mm. Well, let's stipulate that obviously the Russians and the Americans both understand that there's some level of espionage going on, even though that the Cold War is over. So, you know, outrage is a little bit naive at this point. But I love the two scenarios. On the one hand, there's the scenario that the U.S. has a kind of a botched spy operation going, and so that's why there's the wigs and the Moscow map. But the other scenario I love even more, and that is whenever the Russians want to, like, expose someone and expel them, they basically dump the wigs and the map on some unsuspecting employee.
Well, you do find this, that the Russians are good at what are known as provocations. And they often would do this with honey traps. And sometimes they would try and trap someone with a female or a male in some cases, and then then try and get them to turn sides. And if they wouldn't, then they'd expose it. So often they will create scenarios, try and catch someone in the act, or manufacture the act to catch someone in order to make their point. So it may be there was a decision, we want to send a message. And that's what this is about, because they could have just done this quietly. And often when spies are caught, it is done quietly. But clearly they want to send a message. Now, trying to work out what that message is, it's a little bit harder to know for sure.
But in the old Cold War days, wouldn't it be tit for tat? So now there's somebody in the Moscow, in the Washington embassy, the Russian embassy in Moscow, or in Washington, who's going to be on a plane, right?
Well, and that's what will be interesting to see, because it will be interesting to see whether the U.S. feels it has to respond like for like and boot out, they think, someone who is a Russian undercover intelligence officer. And you remember a few years ago when the Anna Chapman spy ring was wound up, there was an old-fashioned spy swap in Vienna airport where one group of spies were exchanged for the other. So you do see some of this kind of tit-for-tat spy swap, which is very Cold War, but it will be interesting to see how the American administration responds and how much it wants to talk about this now the Russians have made it public.
Well, we can check wig sales in Washington, D.C. to see if something's coming around the corner. Gordon Carrera, author of The Art of Betrayal, Secret History of MI6, thanks so much.
Thank you.